Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. All right, are you ready for the word of God? Turn your Bibles, Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Just a simple prophecy before I move on. It's to Joshua's generation. And so it is only fitting that we read from the book of Joshua in the Joshua generation. Amen, somebody. And this is so prophetic and timely for all that God has said will happen in us and through us this year. Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Everybody read together, loud as you can. One, two, go. Glory to God. He says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Celebration Church. He says, all came to pass of all the prophetic words we've received concerning this year. How many of them will come to pass in your life? Did he say some? Did he say one, two, three? All will come to pass. Say loud, amen. Amen. Say in the name of Jesus, I believe and receive every prophetic word spoken over me and over my family. Say all are coming to pass. Say I receive it in the name of Jesus. Say all are coming to pass. Say it's done. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give you a few seconds. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it. He says he's bringing you into a new season of ownership. Right now, it doesn't seem like you can even afford anything, but the Lord said, for his name's sake, for the influence of his name, for the fame of his name, he's giving you space. He's giving you space. In that industry, he's giving you space. For his name's sake. Make this count. Make sure you're not muttering words. This is a prophetic word. A prophetic moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Listen, it's done. The Bible says, believe the Lord God and you shall be established. Believe his prophet and you shall prosper. Listen. If I didn't make this up and the Lord told me all that he said about this year, may it be fulfilled in your life and more. Amen. Say a louder amen. Amen. Say a louder amen. Amen. All right, so very quickly, we're starting a new teaching series. Roadmap to Kingdom Greatness. And before we talk about all of this, we want to talk about the why. The why. Why Kingdom Greatness? Why is influence important? You see, some people are of the opinion that anything that is beyond just normal traditional evangelism should not be the business of the church. And this church is very big on evangelism. I say arguably and with all sense of humility, maybe more so than the average church. And we're big on prayer and we're big on all these things. But why is God leading us to talk about influence? Well, we want to talk about that. Why should we care if a believer has money or not? Mind you, it doesn't in any way define your salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. Money is not the power of God unto salvation. Amen, somebody. You believe that? But when God says that he wants to put you in position of influences for his name's sake, how do we receive that? And what should be our thought process? I want to start in an unassuming way just to lay the foundation. And I want to ask and answer the simple question. What are the 10 most important innovations of all time? I mean, the inventions and innovations without which life would be so difficult. The most groundbreaking of them all. And I did my research and a particular research site came up with these 10. Some of them may not really stand out to you. But they are very notable. The first that was talked about is paper. Everybody say paper.
And of course, apart from the many obvious reasons, paper is one of the greatest inventions of all time. Just think about how maps were important, at least in the early years. Map. To have a map with which you could go from place to place. Think of the importance of paper currency. Moving from the expensive metal notes, coins, into paper currency, or books to disperse information. But there is one reason paper is important, and it may not really stand out to you. There's something called toilet paper. Have you ever rushed to the toilet, you did your business, and you look back? And there was nothing there? Well, maybe you should use water more, but that's an argument for a different time. In early Roman history, what if I told you that what they used to use was a rod with a sponge? That's how that is how they used to clean up. And not just that, they used to share it. Yes. You see why the person who was making the list said, paper has to be here. Paper has to be one of the most important. You know, for me, I think sharing is definitely terrible. But it's the fact that this is thick. Anyway. Very weird. Don't imagine. You know, and I'm like, why didn't you just use water? But I guess we'll never really know. But well, thank God for paper. Amen, somebody. And the second one on the list is plumbing. And you see, first and foremost, it looks like some people today don't know that plumbing exists. Please tell the person by your side. Say, hello, brother, or hello, sister. Say, plumbing has been discovered. Say, do you know the toilet can flush? Don't assume they know. Because you see, we talk about childhood trauma, you know, we talk about abuse, and that's terrible. We talk about a child, you know, experiencing divorce with his parents, you know, and all those things. But every one of us, especially those of you who went to boarding school, can think of one traumatic moment where you went into the toilet and then you look and therein lied in different colors and postures. You know? Pictures you will never forget. Different layers. I should stop, Abby. I said all of that to say this. Thank God for plumbing. It they flush. Amen, somebody. I came to spread awareness. The toilets actually flush. And then, of course, there are more important ones like compass. Compass is so important. A compass opened the world to a new dimension of commerce because now you could travel by the ocean without getting lost, find new places, discover new lands, new languages, interact. It opened up humanity. Compass. Then you have the engine, you have the printing press. I'm going to dwell on that. Refrigeration, wheel, medicine, communication, electricity. Now, I said all of that to ask this. How many one of these inventions do you think the gospel benefited from? First and foremost, at least superficially, everyone. Everyone. But when you're talking about the ones that directly influence the gospel, like electricity, do you think electricity influenced the spread of the gospel? What about communication? What about compass? What about wheels? What about engine? You know, okay, I'll save that for another time. And then, of course, paper. And then the one I really want to dwell on is the printing press. And you see, this is a historical fact that at the advent of the printing press, the first material that spread around the world was the Bible. Nothing was printed using the technology of the printing press like the Bible. Nothing. Nothing. So, the printing press sponsored both the Protestant Revolution and the scientific revolution. I take that again. The printing press sponsored both the scientific revolution and the Protestant Reformation. There's a reason I'm saying this. This is so important. See, now, let me talk about the Protestant Reformation as fast as I can. And I've told this time and again, but you need to have some context to where I'm going. Listen and follow me closely. So, once upon a time, the church was not just the church. It was an economic powerhouse. I'm talking about the Catholic Church in particular. The Catholic Church owned 1/3 of all land in Europe. Land. And in fact, after the Roman Empire, they handed over power to the Catholic Church. All the kings of Europe were under the Pope. And there are so many implications behind that. But that's not where we're going. So I'm letting you know how formidable this institution was. And coming on the scene was a man named Martin Luther. He was, he was crying for his sins incessantly. He just had this sin consciousness and was always asking for mercy and forgiveness and all of that. And it was never enough. And under the provision of the Catholic Church, the way you handle your sins is to pay money, what they called indulgences. So there were different prices for different levels and gravities of sins. In fact, one of their theologians called John Tetzel said this. He says, make a donation in exchange, a promise to reduce your time in purgatory. So if you wanted to reduce your time in what they call purgatory, you pay money for that. And then when you pay money, it's like your sins are removed. This was a thing. And so, I mean, Martin Luther must have paid money a lot of times. But then one day, because he had the privilege of having access to the Bible, not everybody had access to the Bible. First and foremost, it was in Latin, which not everybody spoke. And secondly, it was available only to the religious elites. But because he was a monk, he had the opportunity to read the Bible, and he found a scripture that changed his life forever. He saw it, the just shall live by faith. And it struck him like lightning. So you mean justification comes by faith, not by paying indulgences, not by fasting, not by night vigils, not by anything. Just salvation by faith alone. And now he began to wonder, why wasn't the Catholic Church teaching this? And he believed it was because of the money. And so he wrote the famous 95 Theses, nailed it to the door, and that was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation in the 15th century. Now, listen very carefully. What you do not know is that Martin Luther was not the first person to stand up against the Catholic Church. In fact, there was nothing he said that was new. He wasn't the first. There were at least 4 people, the most famous of them, John Wycliffe, who had stood against the Catholic Church about 100 years before Martin Luther. Some people believe that Martin Luther's ideas were not original, by the way. But anyway, he was famous for it. So why was Martin Luther's Reformation more famous? And why was it able to cause a change around the world? Because as at the time that Martin Luther was preaching, the printing press had been born. So his messages went viral. Are you listening to this? That is the only difference. Everything he had been saying, people had been saying before him. But listen, that groundbreaking event in the body of Christ happened not just by faithful preaching and bravery, but with technology. Did you hear what I'm saying? And so it just tells you the role of technology, of influence in the spread of the gospel. The history of the church is not complete without it. And what I want to emphasize to you today is this. When God said, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do whatever I've commanded you, he
He told us where we should do what we should do and what we should say. But he did not keep any restriction to how. Did you listen to what I just said? So the notion that traditional evangelism must be one-on-one is limiting. It will never go out of fashion. Every true believer must be willing and bold enough to talk about his faith. But listen, can God take advantage of influences, platforms of influences, to propagate the gospel? The answer is a resounding yes. It's a resounding yes. It's a resounding yes. That the fact that technology has made it possible for us to travel. Now, in record time, we can preach in multiple places. You know, something happened. One of the times I traveled to the UK this year, it was such a busy schedule. I traveled into the UK, arrived Sunday morning, preached in church that Sunday morning. And then on Wednesday, I went to preach for another church, did two quick sessions. Immediately, I was done. I rushed to the airport, flew to Abuja, preached in Abuja Thursday morning, morning and afternoon, I think. Then I rushed to the airport again, flew back to the UK, and from the airport, they drove me straight to Birmingham, and I preached from Friday to Sunday. That was 1 week. But think about the impact. Think about the impact. Imagine Paul had that. Are you getting what I'm saying? No more writing to Thessalonica. I wanted to come, but Satan hindered me. You, Baba, fly. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, something happened. Oh my God. Listen to this. I was in a meeting. Bishop Oyedepo was talking. This was about 10 years ago. This was about 8:20. And then he said, by 8:28, I'll be preaching in Ikeja. We're in Ogun State. So me and my friends were like, oh, maybe he miscalculated the time. He didn't look at the... When it was done, we just heard tuk, 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 tuk. Chopper, they play. Think about the impact, the ease of ministry. If you think that it has not aided the spread of the gospel, you are a hypocrite. There's no way around it. And so, there is a balance of understanding. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I will go straight first to the verse that you all know. Philippians 4 13. Everybody read together loud as you can. 1, 2, go. You know, I know it's a popular text. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can pass the exam. I can marry the wife. I can have the children. You know, but we've missed the context. You are not exactly wrong. But there is a more specific context. All things is in context. And what did he say in the verse before? He says, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Listen, this is the balance of Christianity. But like many other doctrines, you find most churches hanging and hinging on to one extreme. So, we need to teach the church that it is part of our calling to know how to be abased. Like Paul was teaching, he says, what can separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or peril or distress? So listen, even if we believe that God can bless, if you don't have money, if you don't have all these things, you are still faithful. Amen, somebody. It's part of the calling in Christ Jesus. It is not material blessing that sponsors our commitment. It's not about that. Our faith in God is not transactional. Amen, somebody. So now, that's an important message. But then, there are people who know how to abound, but don't know how to abase. So there is that. People who, when they are going through a tough time, they say, God, why me? As if to say, it's okay for someone else. What do you mean, why me? Who else? So if it's your neighbor, you don't mind. Why me? So there is that balance.
But there are also people who know how to be abased but don't know how to abound. Some people who cannot even conceive greatness. They can't conceive it. You know, there's a lady. I don't even know where she is in the world. But she said something. She would not know how that thing impacted me. She was in a simple fellowship in school. And I was just walking past. I decided to join them briefly. And she said something in passing. She said, some of you are working hard to have a degree, hoping to, for instance, get a job in a bank. And you are forgotten that it is people who own banks. It hit me like thunder. Bah! I never thought about it. That it's human beings who own banks. And so now, there are Christians who are praying, God, I just want a job in a bank. It never occurred to you. There are some of you, before God can walk with you, he has to take you out like Abraham, see the stars, conceive greatness. Conceive what it means to have children like the sand of the seashore. Some people cannot even conceive it. And because of that, God can't even walk with them. And so we need to have that balance. I am telling you, most of the church doesn't know how to abound. We have not conceived true greatness. And the irony is, many of the inventions we talked about, some of them were done by Christians, many of them by unbelievers. But listen, listen to me. You are the one who believes that you have an all-powerful God to whom you must give account. A God who told you to have dominion. How come unbelievers are thinking about dominion more than you? Don't worry, no problem. How come unbelievers are thinking about dominion more than you are? Media team, should I wait? All right, don't get distracted now. No fire. I said, how come atheists are more obsessed with dominion than you are? How come? Think about it. Do you know what kind of mind you must have to say, let us go to the moon? Like, someone came up with the idea, let's go to the moon. And it wasn't just talk. They started walking towards it. Then they built a ship. Then they had enough faith in their invention to enter it and go. And then they go to the moon and put the flag of their nation there. Bam! Brothers and sisters, that's dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God says you should have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, now they have exploited everything that God has created. And they're wondering why unbelievers can do this. Because listen, before there was a church, there was the dominion mandate. God didn't tell it to Christians. He told it to mankind. And so if the church is not sensitive, they will take the back seats, which is what has been happening. And let me tell you this. The real reason poverty is bad is because there's someone who has food that can think of going to the moon. Don't understand. Think about what I said. Well, think about it. You never chop in one go moon. It won't cross your mind. I am letting you know. Listen, some of you know what I'm saying. The first time the middle of the month came and your money had not finished, it opened your mind. It's a different type of awareness. Or when you got to a point where you could eat what you wanted. It brings you to a space of creativity. There are some things you never took notice of. The person who invented the fluorescent, they said he tried 999 times. Brother, that's money. You tried 999 times, he failed. You still tried one more time. You have to have resources, some funding to try that here. Borrow money from your parents. You try five times, you don't work. They will slap your head. Go and read your book. Understand what I'm saying? When you have resources, you can be creative, you can try things, your mind will be open. How can you become an engineer without spoiling? Just imagine you wanted you. There's a radio. You feel you can fix it. You are not sure. It takes a certain level of comfortability to unscrew that radio and try. Try it in a family that is still trying. You will serve punishment. You will serve your child. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? If God said, have dominion, think about it. Someone conceived an idea, and now it is normal for you to enter a plane with 700 people, and it will lift from the ground in the air for 12 hours. 12 hours, and you will sleep. You will sleep, wake up, and it will land safely. 700 people. That's a flying building. Someone conceived it. How is it that unbelievers are thinking more like God than we are? That's the question. The reason I'm saying this is because you can pray from now till tomorrow and prophesy, occupy. If God doesn't open your mind, see what people are thinking. And you know, unfortunately, not only is the church not spearheading these inventions, we wait, take the back seat. The world explores them, comes up with groundbreaking inventions, then we begin to criticize it. We say it's the Antichrist. Then after everything becomes established, we shamelessly, quietly adopt it as if we never said anything and without admitting wrong. Always taking the back seat. Always. But humans are thinking of how to make life easier. They're the ones obsessed. If God says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, why is it that you are not obsessed with water, how it works, how it flows, with the air, with the land, what can grow in it? You're the one that God said should have dominion. That someone woke up and said, let's create a technology where no matter where you are in the world, you will just press something on your phone and your phone will direct you. Now, it has become normal in any state, any nation in the world. You just put on your Google Maps and you have direction. Someone thought about that. Or you think of Google Earth. Someone said, let's be able to see key sites in the world real time. Someone thought about that. You know, interestingly, and I say this under God, as I was preparing this note and I got to this Google Maps place, this is one of the ways God speaks to me, through coincidences, supernatural coincidences. Nadia woke up, and you know, when she wakes up, the first thing she does is looks for the parents to disturb. So she came to my home office, and she sat on my lap, started playing with my iPad, went to the homepage, and for some reason went to the maps and said, Daddy, show me my school. And I showed her key sites, showed her school, and she was excited. Someone thought about that. Listen, child of God, conceive greatness. Open your heart to creative ability. Receive it. Please say, I receive it. Just open your mind to it. Influence is necessary. It's necessary. You can't take away the spread of the gospel from influence. You cannot. The power of communication. Now, right now, as I'm talking, there are people around the world hearing me. Let me ask you this. How many of you listened to me repeatedly before you ever stepped into this church? Lift your hands. Just look around you. Look around you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. That's the power of media, that I no longer have to go to a particular house for people to hear me preach. So when we talk about God exploiting platforms of influence And the name that many theologians don't like, mountains of influence. It's a real thing. You can't deny it. When someone talks about mountains of influence, I know that they are extremes. Two extremes. Number one, the notion that we can take over and evangelize the whole world, and so there will no longer be wickedness. It won't happen. The Bible has written judgment. Things will get worse. And so when we're talking about influence, we're talking about creating opportunities and options for God's people. That when we want to watch movies, we should have clean options. That's what we are talking about. And then the second thing is, people became so concerned about influence, they were reneging in their commitment to the simple instructions of prayer, evangelism, fasting. People were saying silly things like, who those things help? We will never outgrow the foundationals, the foundations, the fundamentals. Say loud amen. So those are the extremes. But to throw away the baby with the bathwater, you are a hypocrite. Let me tell you something. Look at all those mountains and think of how dependent even the gospel is on them. Let me say this to you. I have been counseling for years now. And let me say this. Even the most saved, sanctified person who grew in the wrong family, the deliverance will take years. It will take the mercy of God. Tongue speaking. You see people, their tongues is with phonetics. Very fluent. But because they grew up in a house where the husband maybe was a monster, beating the woman, you know, and using abusive words, he cannot just be normal. Always a terror. And it's supposed to, I'm the man in this house. Nobody did struggle with you. Calm down. Calm down. I'm the head of this home. Yeah, the Bible says I'm the head. It didn't say you are the coconut head. It didn't say you are the coconut head. There's a difference. See, I have seen trauma. I've seen tongue-speaking, fine believers, quote and unquote. Oh yeah, forgive is a struggle. Or just to, please, are you listening to me? One of the finest preachers I ever came across. Finest. The devil must have seen his star, planted an agent in the house. And so from 5, was abused sexually every week, 3 times. From 5 to 9 years old, sex 3 times a week. And then much later, gets born again, filled with the Spirit, but he's struggling. You see, some of you don't understand. You don't understand. Family, if the devil gets there, see, when the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You think that's a joke? Or let's talk about governance. I've tried to put this pari passu. Are you aware that the exact same thing that happened in Nineveh happened in Egypt? Same thing. Prophet with a word from God. But the kings received it differently. And now, this is the thing about having wrong leaders. When the time for the reckoning, the day of reckoning comes, it is not only them that will suffer. It's all the people who they are leading. So now, because the king of Nineveh listened to Jonah, Nineveh was safe. But Pharaoh, because he was opposing Moses, it was not only the firstborn in his house that died. It was all firstborns. Are you listening to this? Listen, there's a reason the Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 2, it says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. It says, but when the wicked person rules, people perish. And you are still telling me that Christians should not be concerned with politics. You are still telling me that. You know, I think it was Peter who was preaching last week or the week before. Pharaoh, to prove a point, a prophet came and, you know, prophesied, now there is frog. To prove a point, you got your magicians to create their own frog. So now there is more frogs. Just to prove a point, we die here. His own version of no grief for anybody at the expense of the citizens. I would rather put my people under more inconvenience. Now, let me say this, and please forgive me if you don't understand. The current template for missionary work, you go to a country that is opposed to the gospel, you preach, you win 20 souls, then they catch you, they kill you. When you die, of the 20, 15 will return to the world, 5 will remain. And you say, oh, I'm noble, I did it for Jesus. And listen, one soul is worth it. Please don't get me wrong. But if God raises people who can shape those governments, lift those bands, see, mention any country that is against the gospel, let them lift the bands, give the church 15 years. Just 15 years and see. Why do you think they are afraid? What are they hiding? What are they protecting? If it's just by apologetics, if you are sure, you are sure. Let's argue it out. Let's preach. Preach your own. They know. That a wrong person can write a law and will hinder the gospel. Paul said, pray for kings and for those in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceable lives. He's letting you know that their influence can affect your peace. It's right there in your Bible. He said, if you want peace, peace to practice as a Christian. He's letting you know Pharaoh can stand in your way. Please, are you getting this? And this is why God wants to empower his church. And I sense prophetically, you will see many things like God coming to Solomon. What do you want? And Solomon, being a noble person, says, no, I just want wisdom to rule God's people. God said, okay, that's fine. I will still give you money. Let me say this over some people here. Whether you like it or not, for the sake of the gospel, you must blow. Yeah. Solomon did not ask. God said, even though, still. Because, you know, some people are more righteous than God. God showed Peter a trance. He showed him animals. Take, kill, and eat. He said, no, Lord. He corrected God. No, Lord. He said, what God gave him is unclean. You know, some people are more righteous than God. You have not learned how to abound. Because you see, there's something about poverty that will make you feel close to God. You feel that me and God nearer. And you're saying, take the whole world, give me Jesus. And Satan is saying, yes, bring it. I reject it. Not in our time. This is the Joshua generation. There is a prophecy on your life. He says, be strong and very courageous. He says, occupy. Hey, my God. Occupy. When the doors begin to open, understand why. But before then, begin to conceive greatness. Begin to conceive it. It doesn't cost money to dream. It doesn't cost anything. Dream. 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 Influence is necessary. In this preaching, I've seen things. There was a time, just visa to go and preach, he showed me Shege. We had churches. I couldn't go there to preach. Just visa. And you see, You would think things are hard until you know someone. You know, I woke up recently. One of my daughters said, I am now the something country head in charge of visas for these thing countries. Say, anytime you are ready, let me know. You and your children. I say, God bless you. Few months before, about a few years ago, one of the people I was privileged to bless some years ago called me and said, for the gospel, I want to pay for you to have a passport. This is after visa officer showed me Shege. I said, son, wherever you are kneeled down, let me pray for you. Hallelujah. What, the devil is in trouble. Now, in this 2024, out of 10 nations, I have access to 9. 9. Watch and see what God will do. Watch and see what God is about to do. I mean, it would be nice if you just call me and say, Pastor, I heard you need property. You are doing fundraising. Why are you bothering yourself? Don't worry. Let's talk during the week. I will call you now. Wherever your office is not far, I will come. You know, when they were building the new Redemption Camp building, I happened to be there when it was announced. But the Jesus said, we're building a new auditorium, 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. He said it will be built by 5 people. My wife, I, and 3 friends. Said, but if you want to give, you can give. Check. As you're seeing people standing outside, is it good? Hallelujah. Don't forget, we have a history. When we had a time when we couldn't afford good mic will off, I will preach well. There's no problem. Until now, there are still places I go to, you'll be surprised. Because it's not about that. But everything that can advance the spread of the gospel, we say amen to it. Say loud amen. Amen. It's not just about you. If it is just about making heaven, then forget all these things. Just be noble, you and your house. But I'm telling you, with influence, you can take more people with you. Statistically, when a man knows Jesus, his whole family will follow. Statistically. There are just some things, some advantages of influence, both biological and... oh my God. For everyone who is open to it, may the Lord do in your life as he has said. May the Lord do in your life as he has said.
Amen.
There is something called durable riches and righteousness, meaning both your spirit and your pocket will be buoyant. It's possible. The money won't take you away from God. You will still love the Lord. You will still see. I've said it. My children, we have money and have sense. It's possible. Please, are you listening to me? So that when you read the story of the poor man, you know, Lazarus, and the rich man, you won't think it was his poverty that took him to the right side, though. But when you hear that where he was called Abraham's bosom, you now know that you don't have to be poor to serve God. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be. But listen, we also have the formidability and then the fortitude that come what may, whether in plenty or in lack, we remain consistent. But if the Lord has said that for his name's sake, he wants to give you the influence, then we say amen, yes and amen. No arguments. Hallelujah. So we're going to do something prophetic. We'll praise God just a little bit more. We give our offerings and we'll go. You know what you're going to do? The Bible says, let the people praise you. Let the people praise you. He says, and the earth will yield its increase. He says, God, even our God shall bless us. And the ends of the earth will fear him. As you praise him, all you're saying is, Lord, do as you have said. Ma joba lo oluwa. Ma joba. And as you do that, ideas are hitting you like never before. Doors are opening to you. Just praise him right now. Praise him and do it from your spirit. Praise him and sing that song. Say, Obata. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Do you believe he can do it in your life? I give you a few minutes. Worship him. Now your way. Now your way, now your way. Thank you, Lord. Now your way, now your way. Hey, sing now your way. Make this time count. He's still lifting people from the dunghill. Now your way. Placing their foot on the rock to stay. Thank you, Jesus. I never knew you will favor me this way. Declare it prophetically. I never knew you will favor me this way. I never knew you will favor me this way. You will favor me this way. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it from your spirit. Say, I never knew you will favor me this way. I never knew you will favor me this way. I never knew. Favor me this way. You will favor me this way. The things that are impossible, the things that money cannot buy, they are the things that you have done for me. Yeah. What my father cannot, what my... You are introducing your generation to a new dimension of influence. Yeah, the things that are impossible, the things that money cannot buy, they are the things that you have to learn for me. Hey, what my father did for me, what my father did for me, he has done it again.
What a marvelous God!
What a marvelous God!
Hills. What if he opens your eyes like he did Hagar to see a fountain of water in a desert? What if that is that kind of year for you? This is that kind of year. Do you receive it? I want to give you a few more seconds without any music. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Let the earth in your life yield and increase. Worship him.
God of miracles.
Like I said, this doesn't mean you won't go through tough times. Right after Joseph saw 11 stars bowing to him, they threw him in a pit. It doesn't matter. He still kept his composure, his faith. There is no record of him complaining and asking God why. He was put on a platform. His clothes, fancy clothes, were taken from him. But right there, without all his material resources, the Bible says, and he was a prosperous man.
Because the prosperity is not external. The prosperity is a blessing. I'm telling you, there is a blessing on you. It doesn't matter what you're going through, you will end well. And this is the confidence we have that will allow us, even in Potiphar's house, to be faithful. Even in prison, to be responsible. Because I'm telling you, hey, delay is not denial. I'm telling you, delay is not denial. God's word will be fulfilled in your life. Because God is able to do just what he said he will do. Hey, he's gonna fulfill every promise. Encourage someone by your side. Say, don't give up on God. Just he will be. Shout at the best and say his name. Give the Lord a shout. All you can ask or think, according to the power, according to the power. Hey! He's able. He's able. He's able. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise. Be it unto us according to your word. Listen, say this in a minute. Be it unto me. According to your word. Be it unto me. According to your word. One more time, say, be it unto me. According to your word. Thank you, Father. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This year, we are warring with prophecy. In case you have not heard already, every devotion this coming week, I'm leading it myself, especially in the morning. I want you to tune in Triumph 30. We've called it 5 days of moving mountains. That's what we've called it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, do you know that name? Oruko. Hi. Just one more time. Boast in your God. Say. Hallelujah. It says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Let me use our language. This year is a year of doings. Just watch and see. Doings. Did he not say they shall do exploits? Tell someone, doings, 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 doings. Laugh, laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.